Lord, help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 748. In darkness born I went astray and wandered from the gospel way, and since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. Hymn 748.
Turn in the Word of God to Psalms 73 and 116. Psalms 73 and 116. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than hearts could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? It's in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord? All his benefits toward me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Almighty and holy Lord God, help us to now venture near thy throne in prayer As thou hast given the throne of grace, now give us hearts to pray. And send down answers of peace from the royal throne of heaven. Help us to acknowledge thy greatness and majesty and power, to acknowledge something of the greatness of the God in whose presence we are now in, whose house we have now come to. Give us the respect, the awe, the reverence due to thy holy majesty and great name. May we never lose sight of that awe and how great and mighty thou art. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies unto us each. Through another week of time and through all our lifetimes past, in bringing us each to this moment, in bringing us here to thy house in safety, and for all the comforts we enjoy in this life, for all that we possess, help us to give thanks to thy holy name. We thank thee for the way of salvation. We ask that we may be put in that way. That we might be led in that way. And that we might come at last to what we, the psalmist, read, spoke in thy word, that afterward, to be received into glory. We thank thee, Lord, there is an afterward for thy people. And how solemn, Lord, that there's also an afterward for the wicked. Prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. May we know that forgiveness of sin. May we know what it is to be led by thee to the cross of Christ, to be led away from trusting in ourselves or anywhere else, but in what Christ has done in his life and death. Give to us that true faith, that true repentance. May we know what it is to truly come, to truly believe. Bless unto us thine own word. Make it the word of God unto us. Make it the message of life unto our souls. Make it the bread, the water of life. May we know what it is to feed on thy word and to have faith strengthened thereby. speak to us today. Draw near and make one of our number, and bless thy word and crown thy gospel with success. Help, Lord, the people to wrestle in prayer now, silently. And may, Lord, they continue to wrestle as we preach. And may power attend thy word today. And bless, Lord, thy people wherever they gather in the whole world. Bless the proclamation of thy gospel today. May many souls hear unto salvation. Bless this house of prayer. Bless thine own word as it is preached here. Hear and answer the prayers of the prayer meetings. Bless the reading services. Bless each one in the church and in the congregation. We pray for our friend who is seriously ill. Draw near to him this day, we ask. And grant him to know thy blessing and help in his own soul. Grant, Lord, that measure of relief in his body, and do support him and his family at this time. And may, Lord, thy voice be heard by this congregation in these things. Remember, Lord, the deacons and help them in their office, and each member of this church. Unite them together in union, in love, in fellowship. Keep Satan out. Protect them, we ask. Give them the mind of Christ in all things. Remember them when they meet in their church meetings. Meet with them and guide them and help them. And grant that unity and that love to each other and to thee. Bless them when they meet around thy table month by month. Bless us this evening and prepare our hearts to sit around thy table. Remember us as we remember thee. Bless, Lord, the congregation, and grant that there may be many constrained to visibly confess Christ and to join to this church. May, Lord, there be that growth, that strengthening of the spiritual building. May, Lord, there be pillars raised up in this church. Above all, may thy presence abide here. And bless each member of the congregation with spiritual life. Gather in others to worship here, whom thou hast ordained will meet with thee, who will hear thy word and be saved. And bless them each, Lord, in their daily lives with their various needs, their different cares. Help parents to bring up children in thy fear. Help them in their business lives, in their family lives, in their personal lives, in their bodily needs, in all their concerns. Above all, help and bless them in their souls. Remember the children and help and bless them and guide them and supply their every need, open doors for them. Help, Lord, the labours of the Sunday school week by week. May, Lord, those labours not be forgotten. May the seed sown bear a harvest in time to come. And then may there be many who will have to testify. Thou didst meet with them in the Sunday school here. Meet with us now, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. Hymn 962.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn to Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And it is this word afterward which has stood out as we have read the chapter this morning. Afterward. Because there is without exception for each and every one of the human race, and afterwards we will come to this point. What happens at the end of life? And the psalmist in these verses tells us the afterward for the wicked, to be utterly consumed with terrors. The afterward of the saints who are guided with his counsel in this life, to be received up into glory. And of whom the Lord has said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We read it this morning. The flip side elsewhere in his word, it says, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If our death is in the sight of the Lord, so is our life. Have you come yet to that realization? Thou, God, seest me. Is that how we are living? Or are we living as if God was blind? We have to get to heaven. We will come to the realization that God does see us. And that will have an effect on our living here below. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Here we have life on earth. Here we have the way set out for a believer to go. Here we have the preparation for glory. Amos tells us, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Are you preparing to meet your God? as you will do when you come to this word afterward in your experience? What is it to be prepared? It's to be ready. Are you ready? If you are ready, you will know the first part of our text. You can't know the second part without first knowing something of the first part. Guidance. If somebody guides you, they're directing you, they're helping you, they're telling you the way you have got to go. And if they didn't give you that guidance, you might mistake the way and end up in somewhere completely different to where you wanted to. And in the way of faith, that would always happen. It may well be that in certain journeys we take on earth, we don't need guidance. Without exception, we all need guidance on the road to heaven, or we'll never get there. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. What a blessing it is that God sees us on the road of life. May that be encouraging to some of you. He sees the need you have this morning. He sees your inmost thoughts. He knows as you've come to God's house, you're seeking this guidance, you're seeking this counsel. Because you painfully feel that you need it and that you do not know the way in which you should go. You realize something of that great need to be prepared to meet with God. Because we have those in the previous verses who are not prepared. Even though they have a prosperous life here on earth, more so than others perhaps, they too come to this word afterward. All the riches of this earth you may possess. All the success in life you may achieve cannot prevent you coming to this word afterward. And neither money, position, or success will help you then. How solemn the end of the wicked. How are they brought into desolation in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. You know what it is to be terrified. It is extreme fear, is it not? The most extreme fear. In verse 19 it says, not only do they have terrors, they are utterly consumed with it. In other words, they are filled to capacity with terror, with no deliverer, with no helper. With no saviour, with no friend. That is a result of not being guided with the counsel of God in life. Hell after death. And it is too late to be prepared when you come to this point afterward. It is too late to seek God when you come to this word afterward. God says in his word, seek me in a time when I mayest be found. The inference there is that there will be those who will seek in a time when he may not be found. And that is when they come to this point afterward. If you're in our text, you will be a seeker. You will seek his counsel and guidance. Because you'll be brought to know your need of it. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. What is his counsel? It'll bring you to the Saviour's feet. While there are different ways the Lord leads all of us in the way of faith, in how it begins, it all comes to the same point, the feet of Jesus. It all comes to this point. You need a Saviour. And that Saviour is Jesus. It comes to this point when you receive his counsel. I will be saved by Jesus Christ and by what he has done, or not at all. If ever my poor soul be saved, his Christ must be the way. That won't just be the lines of a hymn you'll sing. You will fully believe it, and the fruit of that belief is you will pray to God for that salvation. See, part of his counsel is that you'll be brought to see that there is a throne of grace, a place where we can come to spread our needs, and God will hear, and God will answer. And it does not matter how young or how old you may be. This throne is open, even for you children. It is never too young or too early to begin to pray about your soul. And about the day when you come to this afterward. And if you've never prayed before, then begin today. And begin with the words of that hymn. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For those at the end of life, in the evening time of life now, and you have come to this realization, you have gone through life a stranger to God and to this guidance. And that is one of the marks. You can't have God guiding you if he's not with you. And you with him. It's impossible. If you've never known his guidance, it's because he's not with you. If you've never sought his guidance, he's not with you. And perhaps this morning you have come convicted and Satan has said, and he's saying it now, it's too late. You've gone on too long. The journey of life is almost done. Too late. It is not too late. It's only too late when you come to this word afterward and you haven't sought him. It's not too late. So you say, well, how do I begin? You begin exactly the same way as I have just told the children. Use the same words. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. And like I have just said to the children, that he will not despise their prayer, so he will not despise yours. And to those in the midst of life, with all its busy scenes and concerns, that prayer is also appropriate. Not everyone receives warning of this word afterward, do they? Sometimes there is no warning. Sometimes the warning is very short. In one sense, every death we come across is a warning. Prepare to meet thy God. Every grave you walk past in a cemetery is a warning. One day it will be you. It won't always be somebody else. Afterward. And if we came to this afterward today, suddenly without warning, would our death be precious in the sight of the Lord? Or would you take no pleasure in it? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. If we receive this counsel, we come to that realization that we are accountable to God how we live. By nature, we don't believe that. We're ignorant of it. Even though we may have spent our lifetime being told it in the pulpit, we don't live like it. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you are living in accordance with that truth or not, it is still true. We are accountable. That means that there will be consequences to how we live and to how we spend our time. Those who are under this counsel are brought to realize that they need a friend, that they need a saviour. And one of the blessed parts of this council is that you are brought to see that Jesus is the friend of sinners. He's not friends with their sins, but he is the friend of sinners. There is a difference. He doesn't receive us to carry on in the way of sin, as we did before we ever met him. He receives us to save us from sin, not just the consequence of unpardoned sin, which is the utter terror of verse 19. But the way that leads there first. Part of this counsel is that under his grace you will be brought to know what it is to hate your sins and to love his ways. When you're in your best moment, you'll lose your appetite for sin, and you'll have an appetite after holiness. And it will be a grief to you that you aren't always in that position, because when an individual is called by divine grace and begins to come under the counsel and guidance of Jehovah, the old man of sin does not die. It carries on living. And it doesn't change either. The old man that we are born with will hate God and the ways of God and the counsel of our text just as much all through life as it did at the beginning. But you will be given, if you're in our text, a new nature, which hungers and thirsts after God, which desires to follow him, which is drawn to him, which has an appetite, a desire, a need for the things of God. And so those two natures, which are polar opposites, will never agree with one another. And so you'll begin to know something you didn't really know before, a conflict, a battle between the two. As they will always be trying to gain an ascendancy in your life. Sometimes the old man will seem to win, sometimes a new man. And you'll be brought to know what the apostle says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You'll also know what he said on another occasion, the other side to it. The love of Christ constraineth us. And when you're in the Spirit, there's nothing that you would not do for him. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. You'll prove it's not an easy way, following this counsel. You will prove that your former friends don't like it, as you will no longer be able to do things you once did before you came under his counsel. And you must expect to lose worldly friends because of it. And you mustn't be surprised because you do. But remember, there is a friend. that loveth at all times. A brother born for adversity, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that friend is Jesus. And he says to you this morning, he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Whoever else may forsake you, he never will. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. When you're under grace, therefore, what he says to you will be of the highest importance. His law will be important in your life. Although we are no longer under the law but under grace when we are brought into gospel liberty, that does not mean that we then do not keep the law. What it means is you keep the law in a different way. In the old way, you are keeping the law, trying to earn salvation, because you are terrified or afraid of God. When you come to be born again, you will keep the law out of love to God and to his law as well. There will no longer be a terror in it. There will no longer be a fear in it. And although you painfully will be aware you cannot keep it as you should, your trust won't be in how you kept the law, but in how Jesus Christ kept the law for you. In the life he lived here on earth. You will be brought indeed to find a preciousness in the life of Jesus Christ, because you will need that life. And that is why he lived here among men first. To obey for us the law which God had given. He didn't need to do that for himself. As God, he was already perfect, and nothing can add to perfection. He kept that law for sinners who have broken that law and who cannot keep it themselves in the way which God requires, which is perfectly. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. As a result of being guided by this counsel, you will come to find a preciousness in the death of Jesus Christ and in the blood which he shed as he died. And you'll be brought to know the truth of what one person wrote: he died that we might be forgiven. That we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And if you find the blood of Jesus Christ precious to you, it is because it was shed for you, and you have been saved by it. That is the way to be received to glory, through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. That is the way of forgiveness, and the only way. That is the way, only way how God can be friends with a sinner. If Jesus has lived and died for us, then God is our friend forever. If he's not lived and died for us, he'll be our enemy forever. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. and afterward receive me to glory. We must die, really, to speak of glory, must we not? Anything that a minister says here on earth is but the beginning. The apostle who was caught up to the third heaven said that tongue could not tell, such is its greatness. Let us for a moment, as we may be helped, consider it. The glory of Emmanuel's land. And going back to that word in the 116th Psalm, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, in the summer I heard a funeral address of someone who was called to speak at a funeral of three comparatively young people who had died suddenly in a plane crash in America. And the Lord gave him that to preach from, and he confessed, he said, of all the words which I've thought of in the last week since this happened, I must confess, he said, the word precious didn't come into it until the Lord gave me this word. But he said, if it is precious in the sight of the Lord, it should be precious in our sight too. Death is not precious, is it, to those who are left behind in many ways. It causes pain. Very real pain. There's no getting away from it, is there? It changes your life forever. It's never quite the same when death visits a loved one. Why then does the Lord view the death of his saints perhaps differently to what we sometimes view it? Well, here's the answer: because they're received up to glory. And as they come and walk through this word afterward, the Lord Jesus sees the price of his pain. He sees the fruit of his suffering. He sees one who he dearly loves and who is precious to him safely landed in glory, safely arrived, never to leave again. It is precious to him. Because that one is precious, dearly loved, dearly valued. A place on his heart. And it is his holy delight that they are now in his company, face to face. It is precious because they are never going to know anymore Satan harassing, annoying, distressing, tempting them. It is precious because they are never going to sin again against him. And that will be a great part of glory, will it not, for you, believer? Never to sin again. To be able to serve and to love your Lord and Saviour as you would, but can't here below. It is precious because there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more loneliness, no more weariness, no more heavy burdens to weigh them down, no more discouragements, no more darkness. It is precious because Satan has been defeated and proved the liar that he is. How often he told this one they would never get to glory. Now they're there. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Brings us to 2 points. Something which is precious to you. You take great care of, do you not? Perhaps it's a ornament, a piece of china that has sentimental value to you. And because you want to preserve it from being destroyed or being broken or damaged in any way, you take greater care of it than perhaps you do of something else. You take perhaps, do you not, the greatest of all care. Jesus takes the greatest of all care of his saints at death. They will never be more protected by the almighty strength of God than in that moment. And believer, none will pluck you from the strength of Israel's hands. Satan will want to, but he won't be able to come near. Not really. That does not necessarily mean that at death, as you go through the experience, he will not annoy you. He won't taunt you. He may do. That does sometimes happen. But what it does mean is he can't follow through on his threats. Because you're in the almighty care of your Saviour. You have been all your life through, believer. But not even death can take you out of that care. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The other thing, in the sight of the Lord, child of God, it means whatever circumstances will lead to your death, which may as yet be unknown. The one thing we do know is that you will be in the sight of the Lord in that day, in that hour. It means he will be aware of it. He will take notice of it. He will look upon you with eyes of love and care, concern. He will look upon you in that covenant of his grace, and he will decree with you, it shall go well. You can't die out of his sight any more than you can live out of his sight. And remember this, if you remember nothing else, perhaps, Don't forget this, even in the hour of death, believer, you can still pray to God. You can still pray that prayer, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So then, how do we come to be a saint? What is a saint? It is a sinner saved by grace. It is one who has come into the first part of our text, who is guided with the counsel of God. It is someone who comes to have a relationship with God, who comes to know God, who comes to trust God, who comes to follow God, who comes to rest in the arms of Jesus and trust in him for salvation alone. He relies and looks to him for that salvation, for this preparation. And all, without exception, are precious in his sight. Forever. As the hymn says, I nothing lack. If I am his, and he is mine forever. So, child of God, this morning, why should you fear at pain or death, and shrink at death's dismay? You've Canaan's goodly land in view, and realms of endless day. And for you, the afterward, the best is yet to come. And it will continue forever, face to face in the sight of Jesus. If he's been precious to you by faith, how much more precious will he be to you by sight? If he has been precious in his voice, as you've heard it with the ear of faith, how much more precious will he be when not with faith now, but with your natural resurrected ears, you hear his voice saying to you, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How precious will it be when he smiles? Child of God, I believe the first thing you will see as you go across the gate into heaven will be a smiling Jesus. If we are not guided with his counsel, what can we say of the afterward? Surely it must be the worst is yet to come. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, the apostle says. So I close this morning with really where we began. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school is at Bethany this afternoon, and there'll be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Pickett tomorrow evening. Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock for the nation, and Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach. Let us now close with hymn 247. 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
Thank you.
O Lord, may we have that right by thy Holy Spirit's teaching to be able to call thee our Jesus, our Saviour, our guide, our friend. Prepare us each for that afterward. And when we come there, may we prove there's a place in heaven for us, and that we are precious to thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and remain with us forever. Amen.